I'd also like to extend a Christian greeting to each one this morning. It's good to see each one of you here. Some of you haven't been here. It's good to see you back. I'm noticing there's still a few of our older folks who aren't here. Let's continue to pray for each other and encourage each other where we can. Also appreciate the devotional this morning. I think many of us are facing similar situations and circumstances. We're all living in the same place, pretty much. And just in the last, well, it was yesterday, last 2 days, I guess it was, I had two different people kind of share their hearts. And these were, well, the one I would call a nominal Christian. The other was, don't know that he professes to be a Christian. But both of them told me that they are very discouraged with their country. And so I was endeavoring to speak words of encouragement and life into their discouragement. I think it's a big opportunity we have these days. I think we need to be convinced of the promises of God and be willing to share them with others, because others are needing them right now, much just as we do. So I thought about that. I thought about a poem that I've appreciated over the years, and I know that some of you are familiar with it. I think maybe some of you may have memorized it. I'm not sure. But it's entitled A Psalm of Life, and is written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, a poet who lived back in the 1800s. As I read this poem, as I thought about some of the situations we find ourselves in these days with I thought about the fact that, you know, sometimes we just have to do a reality check. Where are we? And what's important to us? And is what important the thing that is important to us, is it really important? Sometimes our minds get upset and in distress. And we know that God's promises are true, and so we really know that there's really no point in being worried or discouraged, and yet we are, somehow, kind of, maybe a lot sometimes. I think it's times like that, it's good for us just to back away from our situation, take a look at it, and kind of analyze it through God's perspective, through the Word of God. And in this poem, that's exactly what this young man did. He was facing some difficult situations. I thought about, a little late, putting it up on the overhead or the projector so that you could read it. Sometimes these poems, especially the ones that are written back a while, are a little bit hard to understand because of the language they use isn't typical English. But I think if you listen closely, you can catch the meaning. This is a person who was struggling with his situation. Yes, he knew that God was in control, and he knew that God had a purpose, a good purpose for his people, for those who were following him, serving him. He knew that God knew what he was about. And so he wrote this poem. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream, for the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. So don't tell me that. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow find us farther than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant, let the dead past bury its dead, act. Act in the living present, heart within and God o'erhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing, shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. I hope you caught that message. I'd like to emphasize just a few lines that I think pertain to us today. They relate to us today. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way. We're not promised a bed of roses. But what's required of us is to act so that each tomorrow finds us farther and more like Christ tomorrow. Find us farther than we are today. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, and that's the word that just means temporary encampment. We're not here to stay. We're pilgrims and strangers in this world. So let's not be like dumb, driven cattle where people just push you and mislead you any old way. But stand for what's right and be a hero in the battle that we're involved in. And so let's not look, trust no future, however pleasant, let the dead past bury its dead. So what's behind us, maybe we can leave behind. Learn the lessons, but leave it there. And the future, we'll leave that in God's hands too. What we have is the present. Let's act in the present. God's presence within us gives us heart and strength. Heart within and God our head. We know that he's here with us. So then, let us be up and doing with a heart for any fate. Whether he gives us a situation like our Sunday school lesson today and raises Lazarus from the dead, or whether he doesn't, a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Learn to labor. Just do what's right. Do the good thing. Do the best thing. Make wise choices with God's help. Do what's right. And allow God to work it out. Learn to labor and to wait. I invite you to turn your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 2 for an opening scripture. This is not our text, but I thought I'd start with this little portion of scripture because it's something that I don't think any of us have ever experienced. I am going to preach a two-message series. Because the two subjects are very closely related. Today I would like to look at what the Bible has to say about the importance of forgiveness. And the next time it's my turn to preach, I'd like to preach a message on the effects of bitterness. And of course that happens if we don't forgive. So in this portion of scripture here in Acts chapter 7. Here we have a little situation where a man was horribly abused, in fact killed. Stephen had been taken, had been arrested by the religious leaders of that day, And they brought him to trial, and he preached a message in Acts chapter 7. And the conclusion of that message, he laid the charge at their feet that they had killed the Lord Jesus Christ. They had killed God. And somehow they didn't like that. And in verse 54, Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. How do you imagine? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looking up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Going back to verse 54, hard to imagine something like that. I don't know if you ever saw anybody so angry at someone else that they actually bit them. Gnashed on him with their teeth. These were the, I don't know who was doing it, but they heard these things. They were very, very angry. Smitten, cut in their hearts, and they were biting him with their teeth. Now, I've never seen adults biting each other with their teeth. There was a story floating around our neighborhood when I was a boy about a man who lived about 2 miles from us. He had a very, very bad temper. And as the story went, one of his employees made him so angry, he got so angry at his employee that he bit part of his ear off. Now, you'd have to be pretty angry to do that, wouldn't you? That's what happened to Stephen here as well. But Stephen's response was, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. In other words, he was saying, Lord, forgive them. A bit like the words of Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen was holding nothing against these folks who had been gnashing on him with their teeth and actually killed him with stones a little later then. So we're talking about forgiveness. How could Stephen do that? Why did he do that? Is it actually possible to forgive someone who gnashes on you with their teeth and stones you to death? You know, when forgiveness is needed, someone has done something that you don't appreciate. And this is a bit of a sequence here. I know there's a few of you taking notes today. This might not be the easiest message to take notes on. I apologize for that. I'll try to do my best, though. When forgiveness is needed, someone has done something that you don't appreciate. We can relate to that. You don't have to live very long to realize that you get hard knocks sometimes and you need to forgive. People do things that you don't appreciate sometimes. Many times in a situation like that, someone does something you don't appreciate, the emotion of anger rises up in your breast. The Bible tells us when anger rises, sin is never far away. So when you feel yourself getting angry, realize that you're pretty close to sinning. Sin lies at the door. Those are the words that said about God said to Cain. Sin lies at the door. If anger continues to rise, usually things happen, bad things sometimes. And after the dust settles, if the person you were angry at is still alive, and you still haven't forgiven, bitterness sets in. And bitterness will ruin you. It will kill you. And we must quickly conclude that life is too short to waste time going down that road. So how do we forgive? And what is forgiveness, maybe, is the first question to ask. Let me give you some synonyms of forgiveness. They include words like pardon, words and phrases like pardon, dismiss from the mind, forgive and forget, let pass, bear no malice, exonerate, let bygones be bygones, bury the hatchet, turn the other cheek, kiss and make up, make allowance for, write off. And those are phrases that are totally different from the picture you get from some antonyms like hate and resentment and retaliation. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 for a short reading. I'm keenly aware that Dwayne encouraged us to speak words of life this morning. And I really believe these are words of life. These are words that will help us relate to situations in life that are difficult, things that we run into from time to time. And they will help us learn how to relate to those situations in the way that the Bible recommends. In fact, I believe it's the only way to relate to these situations and be able to continue on well. So I'd like to start reading in verse Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 26. Actually, start reading verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I should maybe have made three messages out of this. I'll do my best. There's a few sayings that I came across about forgiveness. A wise man will make haste to forgive because he knows the true value of time and will not suffer it to pass away in unnecessary pain. The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong. And he who cannot forgive others breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass if he would ever reach heaven, for everyone has need to be forgiven. The Lord tells us, well, it's actually the psalmist about the Lord, Psalm 86, verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. We've already mentioned or talked about what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is giving up my desire to hurt you when you have hurt me. It means to abandon the charge, to release the debt. Forgiveness is something very, very beautiful. And I think part of what makes it so beautiful is that it's so costly. But forgiveness, when it is offered and received, is something very, very beautiful. It's a new start. It's a laying down of old things. It's a laying down of offenses. So how does this work? Well, there are situations where forgiveness doesn't work. I suppose you're aware of that. There are actually two sides of forgiveness. For forgiveness to work, it must first be offered. And it must be received. The container needed to receive forgiveness is labeled repentance. If we are not willing to repent of the thing that we have done, then we cannot receive the benefit of that forgiveness. Acts 3:19 tells us, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So as we think about forgiveness, there are four things that I would like for you to think about, to consider. Matthew 18 tells us that we must forgive in order to be forgiven. So that makes it imperative for us to be willing to forgive. In Matthew 18 also, Peter asks Jesus, "How many times do I forgive my brother? How many times should I forgive him? Until 7 times? And Jesus just said, "Until 70 times 7, or 490 times. And I suppose if you're keeping track, 490 times, you'd probably lose your list or something. In other words, you need to forgive. And forgive. And you know, there are situations, difficult situations. I have not experienced many of these in my life, but there are a few times. There are situations where you forgive, and you just have to forgive again. And next week you have to forgive again, and you just keep on going like that until you've forgiven. You continue to forgive. It's not an option. We must forgive if we are to be forgiven. And you know, I believe that we are honest enough with each other, with ourselves maybe, to realize that we need forgiveness. There are times we just do things wrong, and we need forgiveness from other people. And if we keep that in mind, and we realize that if I don't forgive, then God is not able to forgive me, it's really not much of a choice. It's really not much of a decision. We must forgive. The other thing, according to Luke 17, for us to remember, number two, is that offenses will come. Those things do come. An offense is just a place where you can stumble. And this may be unwittingly on the part of the person who has offended you at times. He may say something, she may say something that she or he doesn't think about how it sounds, and you take it personally. So that's... And sometimes, I think we men are pretty good at that sometimes too. Sometimes we read too much into what the person is saying. The person had no intentions of meaning what you thought he was saying. And so because we read too much into it sometimes, it's not always the case, but sometimes something happens. You've been offended. And an offense is just a place where you can stumble. I mean, it may start with something so simple as you saying good morning to someone in the wrong tone of voice, and they look at you and say, "Well, he's grumpy this morning. What would happen?" And then your suppositions can go from there, you know? And really, offenses are small things, usually, that keep getting bigger. And if they're not forgiven and taken care of, they turn into something that overwhelms you. You stumble over strange things sometimes. In the Greek, the word offense, the Greek word for the word offense is skandalizio. I don't know if that's pronounced right or not, but it is where our word scandal comes from. And so, you know, some of these little things that happen and get bigger and bigger, they turn into a scandal, and God's name is... Well, God just loses a lot of glory. Sometimes his name is blasphemed because of the way we act with each other. We stumble over strange things. So, we must forgive offenses, places that we can stumble, if we will come. Number three, the need for forgiveness means that there is a strained or broken relationship. Someone has stumbled. And so when you've stumbled, then there's forgiveness needs to take place. Not all of these things have to be done in a formal way. Sometimes I get a wrong thought about somebody and I just have to repent and forgive. Give them the benefit of the doubt. They didn't mean what they said. Not everything has to be done in public, you know, or even between people sometimes. Sometimes these things are just floating around in your mind. You just have to repent and get a hold of them and forgive them and let it go and forget about it. Sometimes we find that very hard to do. I suppose sometimes it has to do with the level or the size maybe of the offense, but sometimes we just find it kind of hard to forgive someone, to forget it. And I don't know if that's even quite accurate, because you've heard the phrase forgive and forget. I don't know that that's quite accurate. I think you can forget maybe with time, but the Bible doesn't necessarily tell us to forget about things. Now, God does forget our sins, and so that's a good goal to have in mind. But maybe sometimes we try too hard to forget that we just keep remembering it, you know? It's tough to forget some things that has happened to you. Something that was real. So maybe that's not quite realistic. But I believe that we need to forgive and put it away from us. And I believe as time goes on, some of those things fade and maybe we can forget as well. Number four, forgiveness is costly. When you forgive someone, you wipe out that debt. And sometimes that may be financial things. Sometimes it's something other. Sometimes it's words that have been spoken. But you've been wronged. And when you forgive, those things, just to wipe the slate clean, that costs you something. You have to give it up. Actually, it's not all that bad to give it up, because if you won't give it up, you ruin yourself. So in that sense, it's not costly. It's actually pays off. But forgiveness is something that costs us. So we have to be willing to just to lay it down. Something happened. It wasn't good. I want to continue to walk with you. So I choose to give it up. I choose to, what were those? Let pass. Forgive and forget. Bear no malice. Exonerate. Let bygones be bygones. In a marriage relationship, kiss and make up. Make allowance for it. Write it off. This is what needs to happen. And to write something off, in the financial end of things, is costly. Someone owes you money, and you decide, I'm just going to forgive it. It costs you something. But that's fine. And just another note, the word forgive doesn't mean to forget. It means to abandon, to release the debt. When injury begins on the part of the person I'm being offended at, forgiveness should begin on our part, then we won't be offended. It's actually pretty simple. If you just look at these scriptures and what God says about the subject, if we can keep it simple and crucify ourselves and be willing to forgive, we can experience the blessing of God's forgiveness and restored relationships. It's simple, but it's not always easy. I'm going to end with a little story. And I was trying to find the story and couldn't find it. I thought I knew where it was, and so some of the details may not be quite accurate. This is a story about the importance, and this may actually go over into the next message as well, kind of relate together. The importance of forgiveness and the fact that if you don't forgive, there's difficulties ahead. And this story was about two brothers and a family heirloom that both wanted. Their father had a gold watch, and it would have been passed on down through the generations, I believe. The older brother thought he would get it, and it was actually given to the younger brother. It was on the father's death that they divided the things, and the younger brother got the watch. And this got between the families, and to the point where they wouldn't talk to each other anymore. They really struggled with this watch situation. And this went on for 20 years. It was not resolved. They couldn't forgive each other until the younger brother lay on his deathbed. Some kind of accident, I think, happened, and the older brother heard about it and decided that they're going to get together and take care of this thing. He went to visit him on his deathbed. And this had been going on for 20 years, and they wouldn't forgive. You know, these things are tragic. And yet if we search our hearts and minds sometimes, we find some of those little things that we grapple with and struggle with, a lack of forgiveness that we deal with. The burden of the message this morning is just let's search our hearts. Let's make sure that we don't have those things lurking in the recesses of our hearts. Let's make sure things are current. It's imperative that those things are taken care of, because if they aren't, according to the Word of God, we can't be reconciled to God either. And so I'd just like to encourage all of us, and myself included, check our hearts. Let's make sure that we have this spirit, the attitude, the action of forgiveness. We're willing to do what it takes to make sure things are okay between us. May God help us, give us strength. Let's kneel for a word of prayer.